It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Laker hockey team. We are talking Laker hockey, and this is our June program. And Damon, welcome back to the program. This will be podcast for fans who miss it on the 14th of June at 8:30 in the morning on ESPN. And you can listen to it at your leisure on our podcast by linking with Sovereign Communications or through Lake Superior State University's website for athletics. And Damon, I think the first thing to talk about on our June program is some of the things we have coming up. I know you have camps coming up. You have hockey schools. The ice is going back on. It seems like it just came off and it's going back on. So we can talk about some hockey and some things that are going on in the month of June and even into July.
Well, it feels like it's been off for a long, long time for us. You know, when you live it and breathe it day to day, you know, you never want that ice out of there. So, you know, a couple of our guys have stayed around this summer, and, you know, they're running back and forth to Big Bear and looking for ice. And a lot of the pro guys from across the bridge as well in Sioux, Ontario, they've been coming over to our side. So it'll be really nice now that the ice is almost ready to fully go here to get that back in. Those of you looking to escape the heat next week, you know, we do welcome our Maha Bantam Camps and Michigan Amateur Hockey Association. We host the Bantam Camps. We have the top 03 birth years on campus for a full week, and the rink's pretty much going all day long. There's typically practices in the morning, and different coaches, including some of our staff and some different guest coaches, each coach a team. And then every evening, beyond, except for Wednesdays, we have evening scrimmages where, you know, we use those times to evaluate and rate players. And it's a big year for the 03s as they look to go on to the National Festival out in Buffalo. So that's really exciting to get that going. And that's followed up by 04 birth years the following week. And then, as you mentioned, you know, Lake State hockey schools get going, and those are full. We're going to have to be close to cutting off some weeks early on. So those of you listening in that want to sign up your sons or daughters, make sure you do that, because we do anticipate being, you know, at full capacity, and we'll have to cap those at some point. So it's a really busy hockey season, or camp time for sure. And you know, we're coming off some recruiting and some camp seasons ourselves, with watching some of our guys throughout USHL camps as they do early spring tryout camps, and with their draft picks and their future picks and other open enrollment or open invite guys. So it's been a productive little couple weeks here, and now we're just really get swamped with the camp season, which is you know, it's a fun part of it to get to know our local kids more. And I think going into our third or fourth year of running our own camps, you know, most of these youth kids we know, so it's great to walk into the rink and see all these kids' smiling faces and hit the ice with them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are under the impression that once the hockey season ends in the month of March or whenever it does come to an end, that the coaches just take the summer off. They don't do anything. They get ready to go back to work again in September, and that's not the case. It's pretty busy in the summertime. Camps take up a lot of time. There's still recruiting going on. I've noticed some young people, futures for the Laker hockey program, have committed verbally. We can't use names on those young people at this point because they haven't signed national letters of intent, but the recruiting never ends.
It never ends. And there's some new legislation that came forward that'll kind of curtail some of this early stuff, or at least hopes to. But as you mentioned, you know, it's not happening a whole lot. I know a couple of schools just grabbed an 04, you know, which is just, you know, it's crazy. A 14-year-old making their college decisions. And obviously, as we all know as well, some schools are really overcommitted, and then they'll be pushing back guys and making decisions for a lot of years. But you know, we're trying to find that proper balance. Obviously, you know, in my opinion, in our staff's opinion, you have to be involved in elite young talent, because if you're not, then you have no chance at getting these guys. They're committed so young now. So we want to continue to make sure we're going after the top kids, whether they're, you know, local boys or Michigan or wherever that's at, and, you know, get them in the blue and gold. And then also you're always keeping an eye on what you're looking like and trying to project, you know, Steven Ruggiero's a draft pick. What's he going to look like a year out? You know, you were talking before we got on the air about Tyler Anderson, the growth he showed as a 6'4 defenseman with offensive upside. You know, with a great year, there's a hole that you might be able to project a little bit where some NHL teams would have some interest. So you're always trying to look at those things, and, you know, we'll monitor some of our guys off at NHL camps and see how they went, and that'll you know, that'll be part of our plan to try to keep our board in order and not getting taken off guard like we did with the freshmen and sophomores a year or two ago.
Okay, we do have the Maha camps coming right up, and you can get up and watch some outstanding young hockey players, guys with great futures, who, as Damon mentioned, are going to be going to festivals, et cetera, this summer. You can see them up at Lake Superior State in the next couple of weeks, and then hockey school sets in. And we've got a couple of major fundraisers coming up, too, Damon. We've got the Lake State Hockey Tournament coming up in July, the Blue Liner Tournament. That's a 9-hole event that'll be held locally, and fans can still get involved in that. And then the Lake Superior State, the Foundation Tournament coming up late this month down in Gaylord. So a couple of big events right there.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know Dr. Hanley's in town now, our new president, and he'll be joining us down in Gaylord to meet some people who support the program and in the town. And, you know, that's always a fun event down in Gaylord. And as you mentioned, it is important to our athletic department and our hockey team as a fundraiser, but a good event. And I know I'll be attending down there. I'm not sure our assistant coaches will be able to make it down, unfortunately, just because of the Maha camps and what's going on. But we always have a good time down in Gaylord, and you know, we'd love to have more people join us. So look on the website for more information there. And as you mentioned, the Sioux Blue Line Golf Club coming up in July at the Sioux Country Club, and that's been good. We came back to the Sioux Country Club last year, I think, was our first year, and you know, really enjoyed it. It's a 9-hole outing on a Friday night, and a chance to socialize after as well. And that leads into the 3-man out at the Sioux Country Club. So looking forward to a couple of good events and just to be around and about. It's going to be an enjoyable summer that way.
We've got to talk a little bit about some of the guys who are coming in, too. I know we mentioned all the players who are going to join this team this coming season in our last show, but hey, that's going to bear mentioning every one of our Laker Hockey Talks throughout the off season because it's of great interest to fans. We can also talk about the schedule a little bit here on our show today and a new agreement now. WCHA's got an agreement for TV coverage, and it's totally new. We'll get into that as well, but let's talk about some of these players first. I know that through the grapevine, I've picked up that Melvin Carlson is now eligible. He's going to be able to play. He's a pretty highly touted forward for this team out of Sweden, and there was some question about eligibility there, but hey, he's good to go, and that's going to help because this is going to be some, there's going to be some good depth with this team this year.
One of the best parts of living and coaching in Sioux, right, Bill, is that hockey grapevine. You guys know it all, and that's great. You know, the passion for this program is off the charts, and we appreciate everybody supporting the program and being so passionate about it. But yeah, Melvin's, you know, looks like he's good to go. You never know until they're all here in the fall and you know, everything's in order. But, you know, things are looking good from that end. And through the NCAA, he had, like a lot of guys in today's world, as young guys, as they grow in their home, the hockey over there works a little bit different. There's youth hockey all the way up to the highest level of pro hockey in a lot of their towns. And they like to keep you in their organization. So Melvin had dressed for a couple of pro games, never signed a contract and things like that. So you never quite know how the NCAA is going to rule on those. It seems like more and more, they're a little bit more flexible. Obviously, not many of those guys know a ton about the NCAA early on and some of the rules and legislation that they have to be careful to follow. So, you know, so far we're looking in a good spot for Melvin, and he's a guy that, you know, can score. He's got a great shot to him and real good stick skills. He's a big body. Now, he's one of the few Europeans that have not come over and spent some time in North America, so there will be an adjustment period for him with our culture, with our diets, you know, the rink size certainly as well, the way the game is played over here in a smaller sheet, a more physical game. But he's a big, strong body that can score goals, and, you know, we think has a real good chance to come in and have a positive impact in our lineup.
Yeah, we've lost some good players. JT Hinkie comes to mind, our leading scorer this past season. He has matriculated, moved on to pro hockey. We've lost some good defensemen, but we've got a lot of good players back. There's a real solid core there. I know your captaincies this year show that. A lot of returning veterans, a lot of good young guys coming back who got a lot of valuable experience last year on defense and forward. And now you're going to add a bunch of young guys who are going to going to press the issue and compete for ice time?
Well, I think that's the key. You know, it's as much as we like this class coming in and think we have a lot of guys who can step in and impact the game and the lineup immediately, it's going to be about our returning guys, you know, starting with that senior class. And, you know, most of those guys wearing letters beyond Nick Kossoff being a goaltender, but a big part of our team as well. But, you know, it will be led by our seniors and our upperclassmen and guys who've been around here a little bit. They're going to be so important to what we're doing. And I know that, you know, we feel really good about where we're at. It'll probably be the strongest leadership group we've had since we've been here, and part of that is because of the roles they have on this team. Most of those guys are power play guys, they're penalty kill guys, they're out the last minute of the game. A guy like Diego, who's a great face-off guy, you know, very good defensively, you know, contributes at a high level every year offensively. Kind of mentioned those three last time with Gage Terrell and Anthony Nellis. All three of those guys will have a chance to crack 100 career points, and that's been done, I think, two or three times in the past 12 or 15 years. So you know, these guys have played a lot. They're very experienced, and they'll be a big part of it. And the other really nice part, when you slide a guy in like Ashton Calder, or you mentioned Melvin Carlson, a lot of our freshmen coming in, the past couple of years, they'd come in and play with other freshmen or sophomores. Now we're going to get a chance to slide guys in like Ashton or somebody like him. He's going to play with a senior or a junior or a couple seniors, and that just totally changes the way you approach games and their comfort level going in. They don't have to carry the mail. They can be a little bit more of a support role, or look to their left or look to the right and have a guy that's been through it. You have Max Humitz next to you. You know, Hampus played a lot of hockey this year. He's only a sophomore, but there'll be a lot more experience surrounding these guys, and that will really help their transition to college hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You mentioned a few moments ago that camps are coming right up. There are always Laker hockey players around who help work camps. They provide counselor roles and teaching roles at camp. Who's here this summer? Who's stuck around? Who's going to pick up some valuable ice time here and also some chance to work out under supervision?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, with Chase Gammon, Ashton Calder being Sioux natives, they're here, and then they'll be part of it. And I think that, to me, is always one of the highlights of watching summer camp, when you can have guys like that have grown up in this town, that have come through our youth hockey. They have so many family connections and ties in this town. You know, they'll be the highlights of camp. You know, kids walking in and saying, hey, I want to be like Chase, or I want to be like Ashton. That's so important for our community, so it'll be great to have them around. You know, Gage Terrell's in town, Brendan McKay, those guys have stayed all summer, and we'll have some other guys coming up, guys like Max Humitz and Brian Basilico coming in. The last couple of years, we've had some of our incoming freshmen or guys who've signed their NLIs come in and work as well, and we anticipate having that again that year, this year as well. So yeah, I mean, anywhere from, you know, probably 10 to 15 different players will be involved this summer, and it's, again, those guys are important. You know, a lot of these kids come here to get to know our players, and our players do a really good job of making an enjoyable experience and getting to know the youth of our community.
Yeah, it's always fun, and it's good to see these guys come back in the summer too, a little more relaxed atmosphere, less pressure at that point, and it's good to hear who some of those people are. We're going to take a break here on our show today. Don't forget, this is also a podcast. You'll be able to listen to it at your leisure anytime by hooking up through Sovereign Communications website or Lake Superior State University's athletic site. And we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Talk right after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking our favorite subject, Laker hockey. It may be summer, But there's lots going on. We've talked about camps coming up, including the Maha camp that starts right away, and then the Laker Hockey School for a couple of weeks. And we've got a number of players around who are going to be working the Laker Hockey School. We've got events coming up, the Lake State Classic at the end of this month down in Gaylord, and then the Blue Liner Tournament coming up. It's a nine-hole event at the Sioux, and that's coming up on, I believe, the 14th of July, right in that area anyway, but look for it on a Friday night and get out and support, because the Blue Liners, that's their number one fundraiser, Damon, and they really help Laker Hockey.
Oh, they're huge. I mean, that group's been around for a long, long time and just had a huge impact on our team and our program, and their support is greatly appreciated. So certainly, you know, please get on the website and take a look. And you know, there's, if you can't play, you can sponsor a hole. And but you know, coming out on that Friday night, we have a really good time out on the course that night. Not only to play nine, but afterwards to have a meal, and that's an option as well. If you don't play, you can come out and partake in the meal. We're working on getting some more players back in. We think we'll have a couple of our hockey alum coming back in as well. We're always trying to get those guys up here and work with them. But yeah, it'll be a great great evening of Laker hockey. And again, the Sioux Blue Liners go a long way in supporting our program, and we appreciate what they do for us.
Yeah, we've got a number of other things to talk about on the show this morning as well. We've got a new agreement for television coverage. WCHA has an agreement with a company called Flow Sports that does an awful lot of different sports right now. They've not really gotten into hockey, but they're going to with the WCHA, and that'll be replacing Stretch Hockey, which has been doing the coverage TV-wise, and there'll be packages, same as there always have been, for fans to buy. I think there is a package for away games only. There's a package for all games. There's a package where you can pick and choose your games. But one way or the other, the TV coverage is becoming very much more sophisticated here in recent years.
Yeah, and I know, I don't deal with it a whole lot because we're at the games, and you know, not when we watch games back, it's from a different system we use to upload and download and share video and things like that. So, you know, I hear some feedback from fans and family as they tune in and catch games. And so it sounds like it's going to be a great partnership with them. Except it seems like it's a little bit bigger of a company and a little bit more experience in streaming sporting sports. So I think it'll be a good option for those of you who tune in as we travel or catch other leagues' rivals. I know the other thing, too, I'll mention, too, is we've been in talk with Fox a little bit as well, and looking. They did an agreement a couple years back between Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan. And we're looking to kind of piggyback off of that and work with them to come on board with our UP partners and rivals to do a little bit of streaming. I know that would include hockey, certainly, but it would touch some of our other sports as well. So we've had some early dialogue with that and hope that we can keep that going. That, you know, if you can't make it or we're on the road in Marquette, that they'll be televised back here. And, you know, we're a little bit different partner, I think, out of Traverse City. So there's some extra logistics in making that happen. But we hope we can keep having positive conversations with Fox and get some of our games on television as well.
Well, we've got other things to talk about on the show today, too. We mentioned last month the schedule. It was just out when we did the show in the month of May, but it's been out for a while now. A lot of fan comment. Starting the season at Merrimack out in suburban Boston against Scott Borick's team. Merrimack, a new coach there, a former Laker coach, an assistant coach here. And then we've got University of Michigan coming in here on Great Lakes State weekend early in November. And then a chance to play in the GLI this year, and an interesting schedule, a little bit different than last year for Lake Superior.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely is a much better setup than the past year and the way that shook out, especially where we weren't in home for the last 5-6 weeks or something like that. So much better balance to it this year. We're still going to, you know, have that challenge. I think we're home at Thanksgiving and maybe the tail end of the winter break. So there'll be a couple challenging games there where we'll have to get creative and try to get some people in the building there because our students will be gone. But, you know, it's great to have Michigan back in, obviously an old CCHA rival, and we're excited to have them back up here for a series. And, you know, I like the way it sets up. I like our early schedule. We get out of town there early on and can kind of connect and bond a little bit more and make sure we're focused and ready to go. And I know, too, the other thing that'll be nice is going back to Polar. We're going to use that early bye week. As of right now, we've got some teams approaching us trying to get us to come out or maybe even come here and play another couple of games in that bye week. But I know as of today, we're planning on going down to Polar that Saturday afternoon and having an early inter-squad scrimmage and back to where it all started, and a chance to have our fans down there and then do some kind of meet the team or skate with the team afterwards as well. So we got to finalize that with some other teams, but that's what it's looking like now. So it definitely sets up well going into it, and our experience, you know, where we're going, the teams we're playing, I think it'll have us very prepared to start the year, but also to get into WCHA play.
You know, one of the tough things with travel is having to go to Alaska twice, not quite back-to-back, but you got to go to Fairbanks, you got to go to Anchorage this year, you got to go out to Merrimack early in the season. Thank goodness it's early, because that is a little less taxing than having it happen mid-season or later, but it's always difficult for Lake Superior State because we've got to drive to Detroit to fly just about anywhere, and it makes it really tough. And you and I have talked about that in the past. We're trying to figure out a way. Can we get out of Kinchelow sometime or Kinross and fly somewhere? Can we charter? How can we improve this situation? But it's difficult because of where we are.
Yeah, and obviously the makeup of our current league, you know, and I know those of you who are on social media, you know, Bowling Green came out, Chris Bergeron, and talked a little bit about the current makeup of the league. And, you know, it's not healthy for our student athletes, and I think we've got to continue to look and see what makes sense for our players and for a stronger WCHA, and so that's something that's always ongoing and a target that we have to continue to work on. We do get a little bit lucky that our trip to Anchorage will be right on the heels of the Great Lakes Invitational, so instead of coming back home, we'll just head from Little Caesars Arena over to the airport and make our way to Anchorage, so that saves a little bit. But you know, it's tough with layovers and, you know, getting through airports. You know, you think you're home from a long trip from Alaska, then you got to jump on a bus and bus up. So we're hoping to be able to look at some options to fly out locally more often, and, you know, saving, you know, 10 to 15 hours of travel time. And that doesn't count for weather and other situations that arise when you're doing some of those things. But, you know, it's really difficult for our league right now, the way our geography is. And, you know, adding a trip, I'm excited to go out to Merrimack. I think it's a good matchup. It's a good measuring stick for our team and a good opponent to go play. But as you mentioned, it's another big trip for us, and we've got to be really careful about the way we schedule so we're not taxing our student athletes too much.
Yeah, we'd be remiss to go through any program in the summer without mentioning incoming players at length. We have mentioned that Melvin Carlson, the Swedish player, is eligible to play, so he's going to come in here in a great frame of mind and be ready to go. You talked a little bit about Ashton Calder, who has local ties. He will be joining this team in the fall, but we've got some other guys. Owen Guy signed a couple of years ago to come in here and play. He'll be joining the team out of the CCHL. And there are others as well. Pierre-Luc Villette, who's a high scorer in the CCHL last season, he's going to be a welcome addition. Not a big guy, but a guy with great hands and skill. And Miroslav Muka coming in out of the North American Hockey League out of Minot. And on defense, you've got Jacob Nordquist out of Sweden, Mitch Oliver, and Alex Samandel all coming in, and this is going to be interesting.
Well, no question, it's the deepest team we've had in our time here, my time here. You know, the best depth we've had, probably the most high-end talent as well, quite honestly. You know, it's going to be a competitive group, a deep group. As you mentioned, those guys you just rattled off, some of those guys, again, they should be able to step in and play, you know, but what's the desperation level and the commitment level of our returners. You know, they're not going to relinquish a spot in the lineup easily, and that's what you hope and want for. You want to create that high-end competition. Certainly, we went through a long stretch of injuries last year. We had a couple spots in the throughout the season where we wanted to scratch a defenseman or two, some of these young guys, just not totally based on play, but just for experience. Hey, watch a game, learn from it, you know, get fired up. Don't forget how hard you had to work to get in the lineup, and when, especially with injuries, you know, we didn't have that luxury to do. Now, next year, we're going to have that luxury, and I think it's throughout the lineup. If one of our, I think probably for the first time since I've been here, well, there's no question, you know, if one of our top players is off for a week or 2 weeks, we're going to be able to take him out of the lineup because there's guys that can jump in and play in that role, and we can afford to do it. Where in past years, we couldn't take a Steven Perfetto out. You know, we couldn't take some of our other top guys out. We just didn't have the depth or the talent to be able to do that, and we're through that, which is a great place to be, and we're through that with a lot of experienced guys as well. So I think it's going to be an extremely competitive situation, a really healthy situation. I think our culture will be the strongest it's been as well, again, because a lot of our experienced guys, our leadership group, are guys that are going to be contributing at a high level on every single night, and I think that's going to really help our locker room and our leadership from inside.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting right out of the gate because I think back to last year, we lost Sackleman for at least a month there with injury, and that hurt us because he's one of our best, not just defensemen, but one of our best hockey players and leadership guys. We lost other guys for a while, too, and then Ruggiero wasn't eligible till after the Christmas break, and defensively we were hurting. Now, this year you're bringing these three kids in, all new guys to defense, Nordquist along with Oliver and Samandel, and then you've still got returning Will Rydell, who had a lot of experience last year, even though we might not have wanted him to have all that experience, Tyler Anderson, Keibel on defense, Lucas Keibel, and you've got other guys, too, who saw a lot of action last year for this team, and it's just going to make it a better team. And now Ruggiero is eligible, and he's one of our better players.
Well, I think that's you hit it there. I mean, we went out to Denver, and both Sockerman and Keibel went down on the same night, and it was more 6 to 8 weeks on both those guys. And I don't think they ever fully returned with the type of injuries they had and what happened with Lucas getting ill at the end of it. They were never quite the same as when they started off. It was maybe our top pairing going on. So you lose those two guys. And then Ruggiero, as you mentioned, was not eligible either. So there's three pretty impactful defensemen. You lose that, it's going to be challenging to do. You know, our freshmen were thrust into roles, ahead of where they wanted to be with the losses of Hedrick and Bendulis to NHL contract. And so, we weren't able to bring those guys along as slowly as we would have liked to, but fortunately now it makes us a lot better team. I think that D-Corps has a chance to be extremely special. None of them struggle with their feeding or their skate. They're all good to very good skaters, some of them very elite skaters, a good mix of puck moving and power play ability. Again, by far our deepest, most complete decor. I think it's probably an area where, looking back, I wish I would have done a better job of maybe upgrading early on. If you go back 4 years, I think we only had Draplick with any significant games and Zach Lash, and I think that's really it, who had played much. And so we probably, we're too patient of trying to go out and get better and upgrade guys and have guys bypass. And so, you want to learn from that. And I tell these guys every day, whether it's Steven Ruggiero or Sockerman, hey, we're trying to get better than you. You know, if we're not out trying to find a better defenseman, we're not doing our job. And so you have to continue to develop, get better, stay hungry so you don't lose your role. But I really like it. I think our D core has a chance to be, really, really elite. Again, a touch young there with some of those sophomores playing. But now that Sockerman and Ruggiero are up there in experience, it'll be very good. So five of those six that you mentioned, and I think Bennett Veed is the other returning D, but five of those six played, nearly every game. They were either eligible or healthy to play at a high level. I think the growth Will Rydell had was outstanding. Tyler Anderson, huge growth throughout the season. They have to have huge summers. I know they will. We've got a lot of reports back on Will Rydell in the summer he's having so far. So again, I think that unit has a chance to be special. That in turn makes our goaltenders a heck of a lot better too. Now that we have a lot more experience playing in front of them, I really like the way things are shaping up from the goal to our D group on out.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned goaltending yet, but you've got three here now. They're all veterans of the program. Roman Bengert didn't get to play last year, but he practiced every day. He looked pretty good too. I was sorry that he didn't get a chance to compete for a spot in the lineup, but you got Marek Mittens back. He's in Latvia right now, hopefully working out, getting stronger. And Nick Kossoff, the senior, he'll be returning as your upper class guy. And it's a good crew. You got a senior and a couple of sophomores there, but Bengert's eligible now. three experienced goaltenders, this could be interesting.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, we all know the way Nick and Merrick's played down the stretch. I think they're capable. Yeah, you know, Nick early on against Denver, you know, these guys are more than capable. And I think the competition, again, will drive them. We have not been, you know, nearly this good in net once again. You know, early on, 2-3 years ago, Gordy Dayfield had to ride them every night. Now we've got experience. We've got the ability. You know, as you mentioned, Roman would have got some chances last year had the NCAA deemed him eligible. You know, it wasn't grades. He's a great student, great kid. And don't forget, he was the Manitoba Junior Hockey League Goalie of the Year. I mean, he's very, very capable, good goaltender. Merrick's Mittens almost had the chance to go join the World Championship Latvian team until Nashville got knocked out of the playoffs. You know, Merrick's had everything lined up to write his finals early and go join Latvia for the World Championships, which would have been an unbelievable experience for him. And then Nashville got knocked out and they were able to get another goaltender back. So, you know, these guys can do it. And again, it should be an area that went from maybe a bit of a question mark or untested to a strength of this team. And I expect, you know, one, two of those guys to be among the leaders next year.
I think one of the really important things you kind of hit on a few moments ago, and that's guys working hard in the offseason to really be as strong and as in shape as they possibly can be. You never know about ice time during the summer, but I remember in our heyday years, early 1990s, late 80s, we were very strong physically. Guys worked really hard off season to get bigger and stronger. You want to hope they're doing that now. I know you have ways of testing that when they come back because of what they did when they left, but that's so important right now. You watch the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup. I thought they did it on physical strength and on stamina. They lasted through four tough series better than anybody else, and it's all part of being in shape.
Yeah, well, in today's game, if you don't do it, you have almost zero chance. I mean, it's changed so much. Like I said, I think, you know, part of what you guys were doing then were so ahead of the curve and, you know, really helped to catapult Lake State to the top of the country. Today's world, if you're not doing it, you have no chance. These kids that grow up in Detroit, Vancouver, Toronto, you know, they're back at home. They have a hockey-specific trainer, most of these guys. They might have a skill coach. They might have a skating coach. I think that's something locally that we've tried to help our kids that, you know, you have to be doing this. You know, I understand the challenges financially and, you know, everybody has to, a lot of kids have to work and do those things, but you have to be doing it if you have any chance. Now, when you're a kid that lives in a smaller community, you might not have ice, you might not have a gym, you certainly probably don't have a hockey-specific strength coach. That's when you get concerned, and we have a couple of guys like that, and, you know, we're trying to touch base and check in and make sure they're staying on it, but those are the guys you really get worried about. You know, again, those guys in Vancouver, Toronto, Detroit, you know, the resources are there, the trainers are there, the skating coaches are there. They're going to come back ready to roll, and you don't have to have a lot of concern. And you brought up the Capitals, and I thought, you know, you're right on. That battle of attrition was apparent in what they went through. I liked the twist of the NHL this year, the 2 days off and a travel. I thought that led to better hockey. And again, you hit depth. You know, Jay Beagle is a kid I had a chance to coach up at University of Alaska Anchorage. And, you know, Jay Beagle was a fourth line center, but you look at any major faceoff, Jay Beagle was on the ice, you know, matching up, playing at critical minutes, killing penalties. And, you know, that depth is so important. So a guy like that, who's pretty unheralded most of the time, becomes, you know, a real focus in the playoffs and when everything's on the line. So again, I really like where we're at that way. I think we'll have guys that are competing for a role like Jay Beagle's, you know, a guy like Alex Ambrosio, who's really good on faceoffs, who can kill. And he's got a half a year in our system now. You know, Brendan McKay, you know, he's got to take that final step for the fourth year in our program, but only junior eligibility-wise. It's going to be a real battle to see who's going to grab a spot like that and really help us take that a big step forward.
All righty, we're out of time here this morning. Always interesting to talk Laker hockey. When you do it once a month, you got plenty to talk about. We'll do it again in the middle of July. This one will be the 14th of June, and you can again get the podcast if you miss it, if you forget about it, if you hear about it from somebody, you can always listen to it. Damon, thanks for being here, and go Lakers.
Go Lakers. Have a great Thursday. Thank you, Bill.
All righty, that's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.